Good morning. I'd like to call the Carson City Board of Equalization to order and determination of quorum. It's Tuesday, February 11th, 2020, 9:04 a.m. Agenda item A, call to order and determination of quorum.
Chair Block.
Here.
Member McFadden.
Here.
Member Asner. Member Simmons. Member Wilson.
Here.
A quorum's present.
Okay, great. Before we do public comment, Dave, do you have any opening remarks for this season of the Board of Equalization?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dave Dolly, Carson City Assessor. I would just like to thank you all again for volunteering your time to sit on the Board of Equalization and hearing the appeals to make sure that all of the properties in Carson City are based on a even and keel level. We have three appeals this year, one today, and we'll have two next week. And so I just wanted to thank you. Well, kind of also to let you know that we had a little bit of turnover in our office. We unfortunately had to let one of our appraisers go last year. And then we had one that moved to New York permanently. So she decided that Carson City was just not enough for her, so she needed the big life. So we do have two. I'd like to welcome Travis Haslam. He's going to be doing the appeal today. And then we have Bryce Wheely, who is one of our newer appraisers, who will be doing His appeal withdrew. So you won't be hearing from him this year, but he's going to be sitting here learning the process. So thank you so much again. Appreciate your time, and I look forward to working with you.
Great, Dave. Thank you for that. On the agenda item B, public comment, the public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Carson City Board of Equalization. No action may be taken on a matter raised under this item of the agenda. Is there any public that wants to speak on something that's not on the agenda? Okay, so seeing none. And before we move on, we have item D that withdrew, and then item E is continued on until next week?
Mr. Chairman, item D is continued on until next week, and item E is the appeal that withdrew.
Okay. So, yeah, D is continued, and E has been, they declined to, they settled their appeal. So before we get on to item C, when we go into this, do we have the appellant give their comments and then go to the assessor, or do we have the assessor's office present the item and then go to the appellant?
So, Mr. Chairman, the way we need to handle this is Ben Johnson from the District Attorney's Office is here. He's just going to touch real briefly on the open meeting law. And he also needs to swear in the witnesses and anybody who's going to be testifying on the appeal. And so then what would happen is the assessor's office would identify the property, and then the appellant would come up and present their argument as to why the valuation is incorrect. And then at that point, we would present our items that were in the packet to you, and then the appellant would have the right to rebut any comments that were made.
Okay, great. Ben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ben Johnson, Deputy District Attorney for the record. Good morning. I'm going to give everyone a quick crash course in open meeting law. This is a public meeting. You are a public body. In fact, you're a quasi-judicial public body. You're not just a regular advisory board, because you're not just passing recommendations on to the Board of Supervisors. You're actually making decisions today. So as a public body, you are subject to the open meeting law. And the purpose of that is that there's transparency. The public has the right to hear your deliberations and your decision-making, so it all must be done in public. It's important that we make an accurate record, so please remember when you're speaking to turn on your microphone and make sure it can be recorded, because if the clerk can't hear it, it's not being recorded. And so whenever there's a quorum present, that means a majority of the board members. That means that a quorum present and you're taking action or discussing the item that's under your authority, that's considered a meeting. So even though you're not physically meeting in this room, a quorum could still be present, say, for example, if you're having a discussion online or you're sending text messages. So you have to be really careful about that. That includes texting each other or having conversations. You know, if you meet for coffee one day and there's a, you know, a quorum of you present, three or more, and you're talking about something that might come before you, you know, that can be considered a violation of the open meeting law. So just please be careful about discussing anything with each other when you're not in an open meeting like this. Some of the other open meeting requirements include that the agenda has to be posted and notices given. That's all taken care of by staff, so that's not something you have to worry about, but that's something that we do look into. You can also look on the DA website under the Civil Division. There's a video that our office produced last year. I don't think even returning members may have seen that, so I would encourage everyone. It's about 15 minutes long. It's kind of fun. It just gives you an overview, a little bit more of what I'm giving you about open meeting law. And then the second part, the second statute that applies to you is the ethics in government. So because you are a public body, you are all bound by the ethics rule. For your purposes, that means that if you have a conflict of interest, which the statute defines as a significant pecuniary interest or commitment in a private capacity to another person, such as the one of the applicants or the appellants, if they're a spouse, a member of your household, or related in the third degree of consanguinity or affinity, if you have a substantial business relationship, you have to disclose that on the record. That doesn't mean you necessarily can't take part in it, but it has to be disclosed first. And so if you ever have an item on the agenda that you have a question about, I would urge you to contact me prior to the meeting so that I can help you through it. If it's a disclosure that needs to be made, I can help you draft that. So if anyone has anything today or next week that you notice that, you know, you're somebody that you have a business relationship or familiar relationship, you know, just let me know and we can work through that. So that's my brief little spiel about open meeting law and ethics in government. So now I'm ready to swear everyone in. So if you have everyone from the assessor's office and the appellant, please stand and raise your right hand. Do each of you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give in this matter will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth under the penalty of perjury?
I do.
Thank you.
So do we need to swear in the new member this year as well? You already raised your arm and did all that stuff. Cool. All right, so on to item C for possible action. Hearing, discussion, and possible action on a petition for review of assessed valuation for Cherie Ann Borscht, 209 Rawhide Way, APN 004-133-07, to the assessor's office.
Good morning, Board. Travis Haslam, Carson City Assessor's Office. I just want to give you an introduction to the subject property. It is a 1,032-square-foot single-family resident on a 0.15-acre lot. It was built in 1970. Most of the homes around it are within 2 years. So everything that we've pulled together has been very comparable.
Okay, you're going into testimony. Identify the property.
So we're there. Okay, so now we know the property. Ms. Borscht, would you like to come up and tell us what you're appealing? And just please state your name for the record, if you would.
Good morning. My name is Cherie Ann Borscht, and I'm appealing for my property the depreciated amount and for the improvement list is what I am appealing. Because there is some ages there that are not correct. He said that the improvements were added, and it was 30 years before those dates when they were added.
Okay, so when they started assessing and probably Google Earth, and I'm guessing that your father didn't want them tramping around the property, that was able to find that the additions were done, and I think they were probably recorded when building permits were issued. Your contention is that they've depreciated to zero, so there's nothing
No.
Taxable?
So they were added in 2015 or 2016, 2017, and the percentage was 93% good when they were added. But there was, that's what the assessor's office said. But they were actually added in the 80s, as I have a letter here from the gas company when they moved the meter. And I also have pictures showing that nothing has changed in the last 30 years.
So from, what was it, 1980 when you had an addition done?
And 87.
Another one that was 89 or 98, something in there.
Yes.
So that whole time from when they were built to 2015, they weren't being assessed.
We don't know that because there is some subtractions to obsolescence on the list. I don't know what they were for 2011, 12, and 13. If I could just get an explanation on that, then I would know.
Okay. Do you have any else you'd like to add right at this point?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Are there any commissioner comments, questions that you want to ask of the appellant?
Yes, I'd like to know, is the garage actually a garage or is it a family room?
Oh, no, it's a garage. I've got a 1915 Model T in that garage.
The reason I asked is because both cars park on the ramp because of the grease spots, and that's the apron is full of grease.
Well, and if you look at the driveway, there's like a dip about that much when you the apron when you pull in. About ripped my bumper off of my Subaru. So, yeah. But they said they'd be out there in 2022 to fix it. So,
any board member questions? Okay, let's hear from the assessor's office.
Okay, when it comes to reappraisal and I'm looking at the additions to any home, there's multiple ways of doing it. There's aerial, and what we have, I believe the latest, sorry, the earliest year we can go back is 1998.
Absolutely.
So everything in the state of Nevada is based off a cost approach when it comes to improvements. Land value is market value. And we use Marshall and Swift, which is the publication, I believe it's a statute for Marshall and Swift. When we go through reappraisal, we look at the house. We have a sketch provided in every packet. We provide the year in which it was put on. If we can only go so far on our aerial, because if we can't step foot on the property or have record of it, then we go back to as far as we can prove that the addition was put on. So we have 1998 as one porch and 1980 as the other porch, solid wall. We have 2011 for a patio cover, and then this other patio cover we don't have a date on. So I don't know, maybe that was put on with the home. But everything is depreciated, and the home right now actually becomes full depreciation at 75% this year. It's 50 years old as of this year, so it would be fully depreciated. As the additions go, they get depreciated on the year that we put them on the record.
Okay, sorry, just for clarification, just a little bit. Okay, so the property itself, we asked Mrs. Borst to actually do a physical inspection of the property. We've been trying to contact her to figure out exactly what she's appealing, because if there's an issue as far as the age of the structure itself, I mean, we can work with that because we can try and do a little more research on it. What this, the porch, we went back on our aerials, and the earliest that we saw it was 1998, so that's why we're giving it depreciation from 1998. And so we do have a porch, a comp cover porch, that we are depreciating from 2011. Again, we did the same process. We go back into the aerial archives to try and figure out when a property itself has been improved or when some kind of an improvement has been made to the property itself. All properties in the state of Nevada are based on the replacement cost new less depreciation. Depreciation is given from when the structure itself is built. If we can't find that, we have to estimate, and we give the benefit of the estimate itself to the taxpayer. We would be happy to go back again and work with Ms. Borst and try and determine or figure out the actual age of that structure, if that's what the board chooses to do.
Okay. Are we there? Keep going.
I got one more note, though.
Okay.
We did offer an on-site inspection, and due to timing constrictions, it did not happen. We wanted to actually go on there and see if we could find any more functional obsolescence or even loss of utility. But since we can't take someone's word on it, because that would open up a can of worms, if we can't set foot on there, we can't add any other depreciation to the home.
Okay, so Roy, you have a question.
Yeah, was the garage itself built at the same time as the original structure?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, and if you look in your packet, the last couple pages, it does have the build sheet from when the house was built, completed in 1970, that black and white thing.
Yeah, I saw that.
So the garage was definitely there. So I guess for the assessor's office, say it was put on, an addition was put on in 1980, 1989, and you guys didn't really know about it before 1998. There wouldn't have been any assessed valuation placed on that, so there wouldn't have been any kind of tax paid for those improvements at that time.
The way I'm understanding is, since it wasn't on the tax roll at that time until we discovered that, then no, it would not have had any taxation to it at that point.
Okay, and so in the past, obviously before you came to the office and Mr. Dolly, that if it wasn't on the assessed roll, then maybe the building department didn't have a permit or they didn't submit it over to the assessor's office for clarification, and wasn't it back in 1970, 1980, 1990 that everything got appraised or assessed every 5 years? Wasn't it a...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dave Dolly. So we actually just started using the aerial photographs a few years ago. We still do the five-year visit, so we are required by law to be out there at least once every 5 years. And we do that, but we're pretty much just driving by the front and the sides to see if there's any changes to the property itself. Again, it's just been real recent that we've started using aerial photographs, just because we actually are flying now every 2 years, so we are getting updated photos. And so we can see and now spot any improvements that may have been built without any kind of a permit. And so it's been a big help for us, because we can now see what they're doing in backyards. So did that answer your question?
Sure. It's almost like if you don't know it's there, from when it was built to the time that you started using aerial photography, they weren't paying. That was not part of the assessed valuation, so there was no taxable event for the property owner to pay on those improvements based on the assessed valuation, correct?
That's correct. And if we do use the aerials and we find something, we do try to research and see, you know, how far back we can go, but our aerials only go back to a certain year.
Okay, so she made a comment about depreciation, and how does, if you build this, say the structure was built in 1970, there was an improvement in 1980, it was caught in 2000, and it now has an assessed valuation, but depreciation in a typical depreciation schedule would go down to zero, but that doesn't change valuation or assessed valuation, correct? How does that work?
It actually does change assessed valuation, because you get 1.5% depreciation for each year, the age of the structure, up to 75% or 50 years. Once the structure or any improvement on that property is 50 years old, it's fully depreciated at 75%. And so, and using your analogy, it really depends on the type of improvement it is. We have a solid wall porch that they add on. The solid wall porch is going to be added on as the year that it was actually put on the structure. If they're putting an addition on a home, that's going to change the actual age of the home, and so we would do a weighted age on the home. So it depends on the type of improvement on the property as far as how much depreciation it's going to get.
Ms. Borst?
And the square footage didn't change. It's still 1,032 as far as the assessor's records. But the depreciation, we're talking like $22,000 is what they added to my taxable cost on that and the appreciated and the value of it.
So they added on to the assessed valuation based on the improvement that was made? And that's...
Well,
that's what you would normally do.
I'm sorry, I'm not following you. Where are how do
so
you?
When it shows about the amount that's added for the units, was like it added like $21,000, and I can show you the evidence.
Okay, you're looking at the total cost.
Correct.
That's the total cost.
And then if you minus the depreciation, which is at, 88% this year, but it's 30 years old, so I'm getting taxed as if it was a new addition, and it's not. It's 30 years old. It could use, a new roof and everything else.
Okay. So I'm looking, and unfortunately I can't for some reason. Our new system won't allow us to get into the... Okay. Thank you. Okay, so for the outbuilding for this year, for the 2021 year.
Mm-hmm. 19582.
And which one are you talking about? You're talking about the solid wall porch?
Mm-hmm. And number 10.
Okay, so you're talking about the solid wall porch. So that has a total, the total replacement cost is 20,000. Well, last year it was 20,176. And the total replacement cost, new less depreciation, was $13,518.
Right.
So the assessed valuation on that is $4,731.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The maximum tax on that would be $168, but the property is capped. So your total value is $112,000, but you're paying taxes on $77,000.
Right.
So we'd be happy to change the year to 1980. It's not going to affect anything, though. Does that make sense?
So you're going to change the year, but you're not going to change the depreciation amount?
No, that's going to change the depreciation.
So then it would change the amount, the dollar amount then?
No, because you're paying taxes on $77,000. So that's not going to change anything, or it's not going to change the amount of taxes that you're paying.
Okay.
So if Ms. Boris says that it was built in 1980, we will use 1980 as the year of construction.
Okay. Board member questions of the assessor or Ms. Boris?
I understand it. There was 785 square feet that wasn't on the tax roll. Is that correct? All the porches and the structures that have been added from 1980, 1998, and 2011, those weren't on the tax roll at the time. Is that correct?
Okay. So when you're saying at the time, at what time, sir?
The structures that weren't appraised prior to this last appraisal, where they did the additional structures on the building in 1998 and 2011, that's 785 square feet that I take wasn't on the tax roll at the time that the original taxes were done.
Well, we show the solid wall enclosed porch is 396 square feet. And then Ms. Boris is also talking about a comp cover, which I wanted to get to right after that, of 125 square feet. So I'm not sure, sir, where you're coming up with the 700 square feet.
I was looking at your schematic on the addition that was done.
It adds like 400 and something units to the improvement list is what it does. Mm-hmm.
The 260. But I can't get to that. Okay.
And then the other solid porch wall is in your outbuildings.
Okay. So sir, for clarification. So it appears that there's a 264 square foot solid wall enclosed porch, which we have is being built in 1980. And that's included in the structure itself. This other one is the one that we showed was the 396 was the one that was built further out that we showed that we picked up on the aerials in 1998. And so I believe that's the one she's referring to that says that it was built in the 80s.
They were actually all done at the same time because you can see where the house was white and it was just a
Was a permit taken out?
I have no idea. Maybe it was my dad's home.
Okay. Well, I think we should research and make sure that it was actually a permit was taken out, and that would be one of the things we would do. But if the board so chooses to tell us to use 1980 as a year of construction, we would do that. And Mr. Chairman, can I address the comp cover, which we show was built in 2011 for 125 square feet? And when was that built?
Same time as the rest of it, 1987.
1987? No, now you're changing.
No, because I have the letter from the gas company that says when they moved the gas meter. You guys came up with 1980 for the one portion, but it was all done at the same time.
I'm talking about the comp cover now.
And I'm talking about all of it was done at the same time.
Well, now you said it was 1980. Now you're saying it's 1987.
It was the 80s. It was 1987.
Okay. So then it would be 1987, not 1980, that everything would need to be put on it.
So basically when we're looking at the schematic, the 1980 portion of the enclosed porch, and then the 1998 edition was 1980 is what you're saying.
Correct. 87.
And then you have the comp thing on the right-hand side of this
Mr. Chairman,
schematic.
Yes. You just said it was 1987.
Well, so those two were 1980, and that comp roof thing on the side you're saying is 87, or?
It was all, I don't know the exact year, but I know that the house was white at the time, and it's still white underneath, and now it's like a brown color, so.
Okay, so what you're, all those additions were done at the same time that the house was built.
Approximately.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the house was built in 1970, so we're saying that they were added on about 1980?
Seven.
Mm-hmm. 1980 or 87.
So at this point, we have no idea when they were built, because were now given 1980, 1987.
So at this point in time, you would have to go back and see where permits were pulled. And what happens if permits were not pulled? That opens a whole different can of worms. So she's uncertain of when each individual portion was added, but it was sometime after the house was built, sometime prior to 1990. So what you're saying is this board could approve to give a start date of 1980, 87, 1990 for depreciation purposes, but that still does not offer any tax relief.
That's correct.
Ms. Borst, is there anything else that you would like to add?
Do you want to see the photos, or do you guys already have the photos?
We have the whole packet.
Okay, perfect.
We have. So are there any other board member comments, questions, clarification that's needed? Okay. Well, I think
Mr.
this,
Chairman, if
yes,
I could,
sir.
Real quick, I just want to, did you include that in there? Hold on 1 second, please. Okay, thank you, sir. So if I could direct your attention just to page 48. If you need the factory history, it's a Okay, so as far as the property tax cap itself, the property itself has been capped as owner-occupied since the property tax cap went into place in 2005. And so the value of the property that we have on it right now is $114,837. The property itself is capped at $77,351. So until the assessed valuation goes down to here, goes down below $77,000, that's when Ms. Boris can expect a property tax decrease. But even being just depreciating the solid wall porch a little bit, it's going to bring it down to here. So there's still quite a big gap between what the house, the taxes are based on and what the house is actually worth. So I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Okay. So with all of this, I guess I would like to entertain a motion. And just for clarification from the DA, we would have to put in the motion the year that we're giving all those improvements if we wanted to do so.
That's correct, just to clarify for the record.
I make a motion that the board accept the valuation from the assessor's office for the value to remain at the original $114,837 on APN 004-133-07 at 209 Rawhide Way, and that the fact that the values picking up the properties around 1990 to be added to the rolls and to remain there hereafter, I guess.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have any discussion on the motion? Okay, all right, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have discussion on the motion and the second?
Mr. Chairman, can I get clarification, please?
Yes, absolutely.
Can I get clarification on the motion so that we're sure exactly what we need to do?
I made the motion for keeping the property values at the same, including that the 1990s additions and stuff and corrections were made to the rolls at this time. So we, at this point, we're staying with the $114,837.
Thank you.
Need any more clarification? Everybody good? Looks like you're thinking. Okay, well, we have a motion and a second. I'd like to call it to order. Everybody in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, motion carries. Ms. Borsch, thank you so much for showing up today. It's always good to see you. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I might,
yes.
If you disagree with the ruling of the County Board of Equalization, you can appeal to the State Board of Equalization, and you do that through the Department of Taxation. Sorry, one more thing. Deadline is March 10th.
Okay, now on to item H, public comment. The public is invited at this time to comment on any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item. No action may be taken on a matter raised under this item of the agenda. Is there any public that would like to make a comment? Okay, seeing none, any comments by the assessor's office?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we did attempt to get all of the appeals done on one day. I apologize. We had two that could not make it today. And so we do have two hearings next Tuesday. We'll be here at 9 o'clock on Tuesday the 18th.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now for item I, for possible adjournment, do I have a motion?
I make a motion to adjourn.
I have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none. Motion carries. We'll see everybody back next week.